Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 363 of the Mighty Whites podcast. I'm Jack, as always, John back here.
Evening.
How's things, mate?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, all good. Things have calmed down a bit at work now, so it's a little bit easier. I mean, we're still doing this at 10 minutes notice, but a slightly less stressful 10 minutes notice, which is a good sign, because putting a child to bed can be quite stressful. Another thing that's a lot less stressful is Leeds United's predicament in the Premier League. Leeds 3, Burnley 1, and with that, I actually think I can say Leeds United are safe.
And what is it, around a 0.1% chance of us getting relegated now?
It's something like that. I mean, well, but West Ham have to basically win their last three games.
I like those odds.
Because two wins and a draw, and us losing all three, obviously one of those is us at theirs on the last day, could do it, because that's 7 points. But it also would take a 14-goal swing.
Hmm.
So like they would basically have to win all three and they play Arsenal this weekend. And on top of that, Spurs would also have to catch up 6 points. And again, yes, we do play them. It would take some borderline miraculous at this point.
Yeah. Obviously, if you're West Ham, I think you'd be a bit disappointed given the run they've been on. For us, good. We've pulled away.
Yeah, we've got to. I mean, we're still way behind what the data says we should be and stuff like that. But like 43 points in your first season back—that's a very good achievement.
And the fact as well, we've now got it down. Just looking here, that we've now got it down to -5 goal difference. Because I think a couple of months ago it was sort of -11, -12. Mm. So. One, obviously, we've been in decent form, but we've chipped away at that pretty well.
Yeah, I saw a stat floating around, and I won't remember this exactly, but it was like, after a Burnley game, Leeds have scored 3 goals 8 times this season. And there's only like 3 teams have done it more often than that.
And we lost one of those games.
Yeah, and we did lose one of those games. And I'll give you one guess who the last newly promoted team wants to do that.
Was it Luton?
No, it was Marcelo Bielsa's Leeds United.
Oh, okay.
we're basically there now. And this was the sort of performance that it needed to be. Like, we were just better than them throughout, without ever being amazing, but we were better than them through the entire game.
Yeah, I mean, first half especially, you'd be hard pressed to find a chance. That, like, did they have a shot in the first half?
Definitely not one that was sort of note.
Yeah, and obviously they started the game off in the most dickish manner by turning it around, switching ends.
But that's just asking to go 1-0 down, because as everyone knows, goals are scored at the cop end.
Yeah,
and Anton Stack proved it. Good little ball between the lines from Beal, took about 4 players out of the game. The thing that went a bit underappreciated in the ground was how good Stack's first touch was to get it out of his feet and turn all in one. And then just a really good strike on his left foot, bottom corner, flicks the near post on its way in. I've seen it quite a few times now. I still think if that's my goalkeeper, I want them to get there.
Yeah, I think... I think the shot is a surprise, because I don't think, like, as much as we all know Anton Stack loves two shots, at least.
To be honest, you should probably back three now. The odds on two have gone.
But the shot did come a bit out of nowhere. So there was the element of surprise about it, but he does connect with it very cleanly.
Mm.
Like you say, I would still be disappointed if my goalkeeper was that far away from it.
Yeah, I think he's also just 2 yards too far across.
Hmm.
But it's a brilliant strike from Stack. Like, that on your weak foot, to get that amount of power all along the ground. He must have struck it, like, perfect. Just for it to fly through to that extent. And basically, for the rest of the half, Leeds, like, absolutely dominated, but just couldn't get enough of a clear chance for the second.
Yeah, I mean, one was on Stack as well, because there was a couple of times where he was in still would have been on his left foot, but around the edge of the penalty area. And there was a couple of times where he opted to lay it off. When you were looking, thinking, no, you should be having this from that sort of range. There was one into Tanaka, I think, and I don't think Tanaka was expecting to receive it either. So it kind of, his first touch wasn't great, and the move brought in. You're just thinking, no, just Anton, just hit it. Just put it in the top corner like you normally do. It's fine.
Because he also went, he had a decent effort from a free kick as well, not long after Tanaka skied one. There was sort of a scramble in the box that I think again might have gone to Stack, and it got deflected wide. There was one that they tried to clear and Justin blocked it. And it, if it had gone a yard either side of Dubravka, it'd probably beat him. So it was, with very little going the other way. And all you were thinking in at half time, it's what everyone was talking about, was we need a second one here. And luckily, it didn't take that long. And this, although Stacks is a brilliant strike, this was a more, like just a better goal to watch. They gift the ball to Calvert-Lewin. I'm still not sure how. They just basically played a pass half the length it should have gone and backed off. But Calvert-Lewin hits the space, breaks with it, runs 35, 40 yards with it. Seems to have gone down a bit of a blind alley, but plays a lovely little back heel through for Bogle, who picks out Okafor. Like, and he's got so much time, but instead he doesn't mess about, no taking a touch or all that, just first time finish back across the keeper. Really good finish. I think that's 8 for him this season, but it's what, 4 in the last 4?
Yeah, he's in. If you're gonna embellish on this sort of thing, he's in scintillating form.
Yeah, well, I will just mention it because there's been a lot of Fabrizio Romano tweets about Noah Okafor and just how good he's doing. And I'm saying how good because it's not how well, because that's not how they're phrased on the internet. And there's a lot of people panicking that it's his agent angling for a move. And that there might be something to that. There might be that his agent is trying to push his name out there, but I think it's trying to make sure he gets in that World Cup squad. I think he's them going, hey, Switzerland, I know you called him up once after 2 years because of all the injuries. He hasn't been in the squad and you didn't play him when you did call him up. He's your best, he's your current in-form winger.
Yeah, I mean, look, I can't say to know a lot about the Swiss squad at the moment, but when you're looking at a Premier League player that's playing this well, right on the verge of a tournament, you'd have to think he goes in the squad.
Like Forrest will be thinking the same with having not done out most of the season, mostly because of how Sean Dyche plays football. Dan and Doy's picked up as well. So he'll be in a similar boat.
Yeah. It like you say, it's really confidently taken as well, because it one great back heel, obviously, excellent crossing, and yeah, because I think he takes it on the bounce, doesn't he?
He like sort of drives it in. I love those finishes where they hit it into the floor, because I always think you're giving yourself a real chance if you do that, and it's miles away from Dubravka. It's a really good finish. Shows how much confidence he's got at the minute. And a bit like end of last season, where you get the goals in clusters, the set piece sort of breaks to the edge of the box. Okafor squares it for Tanaka. Really good strike from Tanaka. Decent save, but Calvert-Lewin reacts quickest and just taps it in. About a minute after you'd said, God, I really hope Calvert-Lewin can get one from open play. He really needs one. You'd said it basically just before the corner. And then you got your wish.
It's the sort of goal you want a centre forward being there for. Don't you know? In terms of, it's just that reaction speed, and pouncing on that sort of thing. And especially with, you know, in the last, you know, 5-6 games, you can look at and say that Calvert-Lewin's had some excellent chances that he's not put away. That. He still got that wherewithal that, no, I'm getting on the end of this. Dubravka is going to get clattered by someone. But yeah, it was nice to see him get that goal.
Yeah. And with that, you got sort of, for the first time in a while at Ellen Road, you got full party mode. It was quite similar to the end of, it wasn't quite as big as the end of last season, but there was a very similar vibe with it all, quite party. And I think it filtered through to the players who then did stop playing for 15 minutes. They had a goal disallowed. The in the ground was miles offside. Absolute mile off. No worries. Level is that. That's level. He's offside by this much. It's level. And then Schauner scores soon after. Sort of ball in behind. And to be honest, Strauch doesn't cover himself in glory. He sort of gets turned the wrong way and ends up facing his own goal with ball behind him, which isn't great. No, it wasn't a disaster or anything, but that wasn't amazing. But once that happened, although they had a few more attacks, it did feel a little bit like the Farker keep the ball and keep him at arm's length football for the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's been said about their goal as well is, one of the things I probably didn't notice quite as early, but James Justin did seem to be absolutely knackered.
Yeah, there was a couple of people around me in the ground who were flabbergasted that he hadn't been taken off when the subs were happening. They kept just going, everything's going down that side because he can't move.
Yeah.
And I haven't realised it quite as early that it was as bad as it was, but the fact that he stayed on and just kept being there. Like, I find it amazing that he didn't go off at all.
Yeah. Let's get Sam Byram on. It'd have been nice. It'd have been as quick.
I mean, at that point, yeah, probably.
But some weather, sort of through tiredness, he probably wasn't as deep as he maybe should have been. Mm. Like I say, I know Strauch doesn't do great. I think he gets turned inside out a bit too easily. But, yeah. There wasn't much you could say about them after that. It wasn't as if there was sort of this life in them that they were driving it all of a sudden and pinning us in. I think we just managed the game really well.
Yeah, I mean, they had a couple of scrambles in the box, weren't they, and stuff like that, but it was never that dangerous. And yeah, it was just the exact sort of win that was needed. It just calmed everyone down. We've said before, Leeds worry you in these games like this, but since after the first season, Farkas Leeds haven't been too bad for this sort of thing. We had two games that we should win. Wolves at home, Burnley at home, and we did. And that's all. That's the fact that they've won at Old Trafford and got a point at Bournemouth as well is massive. So, I mean, like, we are having that sort of an end to a season now. I mean, that's 10 points in 4 games. Like,
yeah.
Arsenal would snap your hand off for that. That might win in the league.
Yeah, I mean, as you look through the league table now, if you're doing it on sort of just off Google and sort of the last 5 games, the only teams who have no defeats sort of in their last 5, Man City, Bournemouth, Leeds, Forest.
Yeah, Leeds and Forest.
Forest, who are just...
Yeah. The downside to me is I don't like Forest. Mm. But the other downside of Forest going to Stamford Bridge, putting out half of a second team and battering Chelsea, I have retroactively become more annoyed at that FA Cup semi-final.
Yeah.
Like, I was a bit annoyed because it was very disappointing, but I've watched that and now I'm a little bit more annoyed.
Just sort of sat there watching, no, they are shit. That was right.
Yeah, I mean, the weird thing is, because he ended up scoring a belting overhead kick right at the end of it, but I can't believe that was the same João Pedro that played against us. I was sat there just getting annoyed at João Pedro going, if you'd have played like this against us, we'd have won. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And that basically, that result, so I would say that gets them safe as well, for the same reasons as us. They've got a point less, but they've got 6 points and 17 goals on West Ham.
Yeah. I didn't realise how... Because, again, West Ham have been in relatively decent form.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, when you look at that 6 points with 30... It was a brave selection to rest that many players at Stamford Bridge for a league game ahead of the Europa League semi. Because if they lose that, and when you looked at the teams on paper, you thought they would, 3 points clear... 3 games left.
Hmm.
like it was a ballsy decision from Vitor Pereira, and Fairfox, like, it worked.
Yeah, and whether that's just the confidence they're in at the moment. Mm. Obviously, I know we don't really go much into other teams, but it does feel like that second leg for them maybe may end up turning into a bit of a backs against the wall. Because I can only imagine Villa are just going to throw the kitchen sink at them.
Yeah, because the other side of it obviously is that Villa rested a lot of players as well. I did tell you on the walk to Elland Road that Spurs were the bet of the weekend at like 9-4.
One job you had, Villa. One yeah. job.
I mean, Spurs were miles better than them. It's not just that it was Spurs were the best I've seen them in quite a while. Mm. And also Villa, who I've said loads of times, I watched them go win like 10 games in a row and they played well in like two of them. That's the worst they've been by a distance this season. They were horrendous.
Yeah, I do think there was a slightly harsh shout of Aston Villa putting out a team that I think someone described as would look out of place in the Championship. Oh, that's a bit harsh.
It sort of depends. There's a few.
But yeah, obviously the main one,
if you were just watching them play week in, week out, the main one that wouldn't look out of place for the Championship is Jadon Sancho. I couldn't believe how poor he looked. That team is not terrible.
Somebody needs to put an arm around Jadon Sancho and just walk him back to Dortmund.
Yeah.
And then just leave him there in a basket or something. There you go. Just have him back, please.
Just go play in Germany.
So, you know what? Just don't even think about money. You're rich enough now. Just go play. Be free.
Yeah.
Nobody else wants you. Yeah, obviously they've kind of let the side down in regards to Spurs, who you'd think now, like you say, with West Ham having the tougher run in, mostly because they play Arsenal.
That's Spurs, that's a Sunday game, isn't it?
Like Spurs, what is it Spurs have?
They've got us Monday night.
Is it Chelsea and Everton? Something like that.
I can very quickly find out. Us, then Chelsea away. And then you're probably right that it's Everton in that case. Yeah. Home to us, Chelsea away. Home to Everton. Any other team, you'd be thinking, oh, it's good that they've got two home games. Because aren't they something like fourth in the away table?
Oh, they're much better away from home.
They just bottom of the home by a distance.
Yeah, I mean the win at Wolves, was that their first home win since September? I mean, I know it was their first win.
No,
this
that was
year.
That was at Molineux.
Was that Molineux? Yeah, correct.
The home table. Spurs are 19th. 1-2, drawn 5, lost 10. They're the exact same as Burnley, just with just marginally better on goals. The away table, Spurs are 3rd. they've played an extra game, so they're not really 3rd. They're really 6th. Because Chelsea, Man United and Everton are 1.47 points per game and they're 1.44.
Mm.
But like, they're a good away team.
Yeah.
They're not just like not bad. They're actively quite a good away team. They're just an abysmal home team. We are 10th in the home table and 18th in the away table.
Yeah, that sounds about right. We've got 3 away wins.
Yeah. In the league, we've only got 2. We've won at Molineux and we've won at Old Trafford. The thing is, though, that's weird about it is we're very close to being better than that. Because, like, we've only lost 7 of 17.
Hmm.
We've drawn 8.
It's sort of the inverse of that first Bielsa season where we just didn't draw any games. Yeah. And the thing is, as well, obviously, one, I know I've sort of when you look at a number of stats, we are better placed than that.
I don't like XG tables because I don't think the margin is big enough to give you a win. It's usually like 0.3 or 0.4, and I think it should be like 6 or 7. They should make draws a bigger thing. But yeah, it's got, I believe last time it had us as like 11th or 12th.
Yeah. And the kind of the point in the season that we always pick up from is Man City away. Mm. But when you look at our records, we lost 4 since then or 5? Early December?
Yeah, since the Man City game, so not including that, we got battered by Arsenal.
Newcastle.
We lost 4-3 at Newcastle.
Sunderland.
We got beat 1-0 by Sunderland. And there must be another away. We drew at Chelsea, we drew at Liverpool. We drew at Everton. We drew at Villa. We drew at Bournemouth. There must be another one.
There is Man City at home.
Man City at home. Yeah. That was the other one.
Yeah.
Now that you've said it, I can remember the two things. I remember Calvert-Lewin missing a sitter and Semenyo's goal. I don't really remember what else from that game. Oh, and we had a handball shout, didn't we, right at the end?
Yeah. But yeah, like that sort of form is mad. Yeah. And it just goes to tell you, like, if before that, if you kind of go through the ones I always go to are the Spurs and Bournemouth games at home, where if you hold out for the results that you should have got there, that, you know, what did we get, 1 point from those two when we should have got 4?
Yeah. There is a weird world this season where if we get what we deserve, well, there is an outside shot of getting in Europe. But I am too worried about it. The truth is, if we had snuck in, it would probably have actually been worse for us next season.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I would have loved it, but I don't think it would actually have done us any good. So this is probably more sensible. You're just now looking at it and hoping. I mean, like, we've jumped above Palace by them getting beat without us playing. They have got a game in hand, but they're not going to play anyone because they'll just want to win the Conference League and they're not going to get relegated. Like, you just sort of ideal worldly to pick up some points in the last few games and maybe we can nick another place or two. Because it is something like 2.5-3 million a place now, isn't it?
I think the last I heard, I think it's closer to 5 or 6.
Yeah, like
so it is. It's absolutely worth trying to win these games.
Yeah.
Or competing in them anyway.
Yeah. You just don't need to chance anything.
Yeah. Now,
if someone's got a knock, don't worry about it.
Yeah. But yeah, like Spurs away, and obviously we said we're going to do a podcast later in the week, so we won't get too much into
it. We'll do the preview closer to the time. It's only Tuesday.
What I really want to do is cause the issue of someone talking about Leeds and bringing the game into disrepute for we put a full strength team out against Spurs, including somehow Goodmanson, who has an absolute worldie of a game. And then afterwards goes back to being injured.
Yeah.
And then against West Ham, we lose 5-0 because Johnny House and Sam Byram are playing in a back two.
Yeah.
Alfie Cresswell's playing or something.
I do wonder if we might, because at the minute, because one of our categories, I believe, is first under 21 debut that we always do.
Hmm.
And I'm fairly sure the answer is currently no one. So it'll be interesting to see if Jaden Leonu, Rhys Chadwick, Coben Bird, or genuinely Connor Ferguson. I just completely lost his first name then. I believe that the name that came into my head was Chase Ferguson. And I think that is a person, but I can't remember what they are.
Straight out of original NXT. But yeah, like that's the hope is that if
that makes sense. Chase Ferguson's a tennis player. That makes sense.
Of course he is. Is he American?
I'm fairly sure he is.
But yeah, the hope is for me for the comedy.
He is Australian.
The comedy element of it is if we could still send Spurs down. Now I know I know it doesn't matter, but it's objectively less funny if West Ham get relegated because it's happened to them before fairly recent. Like you know they've gone up and down a couple of times.
Yeah. West Ham getting relegated is only really funny if they then do a Leicester.
That would be quite funny.
Yeah. But it would, I've said before, I think it's actively good for football if Spurs get relegated.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen. But because unfortunately, for as much as some of his choice of players to bring into previous clubs hasn't been great, Roberto Di Zerbi is quite good.
He is, yeah, problematic, but yes, his football is quite nice as well. But yeah, if we could just dump them into the Championship and sacrifice them or something, I don't know.
Yeah, well, with any luck, but I mean, obviously, we will be probably back Saturday like afternoon because I think it's the main chance that we're going to get. There wasn't loads to say about the game itself. We just were better than them and won. We were comfortable. I think that's the pressure done. But the only thing that I sort of wonder is, are we going to start hearing about any contract yet? Or do you think that'll be, if it gets confirmed this week? Like, you know, if West Ham lose to Arsenal, which all things being equal, they should, then it's done before we kick a ball again. And then I wonder if we might hear something because there's a lot of rumours flying about and I have no idea if they're from anywhere good. I might even be, because it's not even like, oh, it came from them ones on Wacko that get it right sometimes. I don't know where they came from. But there's a lot of rumours about that Strouk's off because he's got 1 year left on his deal. But I would much prefer us to, I'd still want us to sign a left centre-back, but I'd quite like us to keep Pascal Strouk.
Yeah, I think I said to you after the game, like I get that sort of accounting wise, it would look good, but I don't think you'd get that much for him in the last year of his deal. And I think it would cost at least as much to get someone of equal quality.
Yeah.
And you're gambling at that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Unless he just felt like he's been here long enough and wants to try something different, but
yeah, maybe.
In which case, you know, he'll be dead to me with his lovely hair, or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And not really.
The other one I'll bring up contract wise is Cal Dallo, because his contract is also up at the end of the season. And if you'd asked me 3 months ago, I'd have gone, "Cool, cheers, Cal. You've been good." But this last 2 months has been the best version of Cal Dallo I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But now I kind of want to keep him.
Yeah, because I think with that, it's very much what he wants to do at this point in his career. Because I feel like we will actively be looking for another goalkeeper. I suppose a lot of that has to do with what happens with Perry as well. Whether
the thing with Perry is, I do think they'll be takers. And we didn't pay ridiculous money for him by Premier League standards. I could see, you know, Turkey, like one of a decent sized club in Turkey wanting him, that sort of thing. As he did well in France, they'd probably fancy him as well, but no one in France seems to have any money. Other than PSG, who won't want him.
Yeah. So yeah, I think some of it has to do with that, but if you're telling Cal Dallo that we do want to offer you a new deal, but we are also actively looking for another number one So if you want to stay and be a backup goalkeeper again, absolutely fine. We're happy to keep you. But if you want some first team football at this stage of your career, we can't guarantee it.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see what it does. But yeah, I've been the loudest detractor of Cal Darlow because I've never rated him very highly throughout his whole career. I've had, like, when he was really young at Forest, he looked really good. But for the vast majority of it, I haven't thought he'd been up to much. But his last 2-3 months, he's been outstanding. And, like, fucking fair play. I hope he sticks around at this point. But, yeah, I would want him to be sticking around as sort of the cup goalkeeper. Although the only problem with having him as a cup goalkeeper is the one thing he is still shit at is serving penalties. And cup games are the time when that happens.
Don't worry. Surprise new deal for Elan Melier.
Yeah, I genuinely could forget he was here at this point. But yeah, we'll come back on Saturday and talk about the games coming up because we'll briefly mention the West Ham games and the Spurs games and stuff like that. Just go from there. But yeah, we are safe. It's been good. Daniel Fark deserves so much credit. I know that he only changed to the thing that we were all telling him to, but he did it. And it's now coached a lot better. Like one of the things with the Burnley game that I did like, I wanted us to go back to a 4. And I still think we probably should have done. But the thing that I did like is we still got up the pitch really high and pressed really well out of this shape. And that's a sign of them being coached well in this system.
A lot of it in that sort of situation is the double right back, isn't it? Where you've got sort of Joe Roden, who is comfortable sort of pushing wide and getting higher up the pitch, and it sets, because you've got Stack, who nominally is the right-sided player, but he's mostly in central area. So it's essentially Bogle gets forward. And it takes some of the defensive pressure off him as well.
Yeah.
Which I think as well, for someone who's come up from the Championship and hadn't really played, obviously been at Sheffield United before, but hadn't played a lot of Premier League football.
And when he did, it was in a bad side.
Yeah. Like, this is... If you didn't have Goodmanson, this is sort of how you'd want to use Junior Firpo.
Yeah.
Like, just... Like, on this piece of paper, yes, you're the left back, but off you go. Just...
Yeah.
Get up there, you. And it's quite nice because you went from someone who was steadfast on this 4-2-3-1, for 2 years, came up, we signed the players to play three at the back, and he went, no, 4-3-3.
Yeah.
They'll never see it coming. And the 4-3-3 was so generic. Like, you had... Stack is a very talented centre mid, but him, Longstaff and Ampadu, you got to that point where they weren't that effective in a game. He's found this system and is, as asymmetric as it sort of is.
Yeah.
Now it is getting far more out of those players, and I think it showed when you've seen the likes of Gruev and Tanaka, who've come into it at times, and they've both looked really well in that system, and it sort of the roles they've been given have suited them.
Yeah,
because I think once we, even when we were playing the three, we were still looking at Ilya Gruev at the start of the season, going, well, he's not going to play this year, is he? Look, like he's going to be fifth on this list.
Yeah.
And then you saw him in a couple of games, thought, I just don't think he's up to this. But that period up to before his injury, like he looked like a decent Premier League player.
Yeah, he wasn't setting the world alight, but he looked fine.
Yeah, he did not.
And from the backup, fine is what you shouldn't really expect any more than that.
Yeah. Jaden Bogle's had a very good, just when you kind of look at the players that have moved up with this team. So Jaden Bogle's had a very good season. Strouk's had a very good season. Joe Roden, I think we all knew, was going to be a good Premier League player anyway. Ampadu, outside of that, again, kind of once we got the midfield balanced, has looked really good. And then it's just been a bit unlucky for sort of the likes of Dan James.
Yeah,
that he's
it's
missed
not
out
just,
on this.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's obviously got his limitations, Dan James, but he would have had a lot more than we've seen. It's not just that he like got injured a few times; he also got injured at bad times.
Yeah, and I think this season as well, one of the big concerns we had was Brendan Aaronson, and I think he has brought more to the team than he has taken out, like than has been detracted from it by him being there.
Him having that sort of 6 to 8 weeks where he played really well has really helped, because without he's still been frustrating at times and stuff, but just that run at a time when Leeds needed it, it's made you go, all right, yeah, it's fine. You know, you probably don't want him to be playing that much next season, really. You need better. But if he's the guy, if he's on our bench, no worries.
Yeah, like, and again, if you're in those games where you're not going to have a lot of possession, he's a good player to have there because he understands. I think he deals well with pressing situations. He's got the athleticism for it. I think he definitely should be at £25 million, but I think he will stay on as a good squad player. It's one of those where you're looking going, yeah, you can stick around. We need to improve on this position now, but there is definitely value to be had in keeping you.
Yeah, will he have like 1 year left after this?
I think so.
Yeah, until June 2027.
This is year four, isn't it?
Yeah. So the one other side of that is if there's a buyer for him, you probably want to be taking the money at this point.
Yeah.
Because although it was 25 million, it'll be 5 million on the books at this point. And you can probably get 10.
Yeah. Again, I suppose it depends what's out there. I mean,
I think that you can get someone as good as Brendan Aaronson for 5 or 6 million.
I think the other thing is prying him away from Daniel Farke.
Yeah, because Daniel Farke does love. But the other thing is, if you do want to keep him, you have to give him a new contract.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's no point in him just running down his deal. Like, if Farke really thinks he's the guy, then, you know, don't give him 5 years, but he probably wants three. But yeah. We'll go through the squad a lot more at the end of the season, but it's nice to be able to talk about stuff like that, being, you know, 99 and a bit percent confident that you're going to be in the Premier League next year and you can start planning accordingly. But yeah, that will do us then for episode 363 at Mighty White's podcast. As much as I dare say, want to watch the Arsenal game. So that will do us. I've been Jack, see ya.
I've been Casey. Have a good one.
In a bit.